Welcome to a very frustrated episode of Calf Crusher Radio. We'll explain why in a second. But first, we air new episodes every week on Facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. You can follow us at Twitter at CalfCrusherPod. I am at Hams Gruber. He is Michael R. Falcone. And coming soon, CalfCrusherRadio.com. The URL is purchased. The website will be up and running, hopefully, in a couple of weeks.
Calf Crusher Radio, baby!
There is lots to talk about tonight. We have a mediocre Raw and a so-and-so SmackDown to talk about. WWE Payback to get to. So, I want to cut the music short because normally I lead into the first topic with the music still playing, but I want to discuss the top story tonight. The top story, and I don't want to get flagged or demonetized for this, as you can see where we're going with this. The top story tonight comes from YouTube, of all places. YouTube, well, where content creators are allegedly supposed to be allowed to post whatever they want in hopes to make some money with advertising revenue if they're popular. That's the way it should go, you would think. Yep. But there has been some happenings recently, going as far back as 2012 to September of this past year to just a few weeks ago, if you're watching this, late March. So what happened? It used to be, if you break a certain threshold of channel views, a certain amount of video views, you're allowed to become what YouTube called an advertising partner, which was switched to monetize ads. Now, in 2012, YouTube, with its algorithm of what it sees as acceptable forms of content for advertisers, they started demonetizing, which is just a fancy word for blocking, certain videos that met certain criteria from making money. And YouTubers, the creators who made these videos, were unaware of what YouTube was doing. YouTube, which is owned by Google, which, I mean, name the number. What's your second favorite search engine on the internet? Right?
Bing.
Right. Google is the king of the internet. You put your website up, you want to advertise, you want to get your name out there, you go through Google. That is it. Google is the king. My phone is operated by a Google system. You have your contacts, you have your text messages, you have your emails, you have everything that goes through Google. You are part of the Google family, whether you like it or not. And where do people go to look for videos online? They go to YouTube. Where else would they go? Vimeo? Where else would they go? So there was a bit of a controversy. In 2012, YouTube began demonetizing videos based on new advertising-friendly guidelines. What are these guidelines? Well, Google does not tell us point blank what this criteria is. They say it as anything that has high levels of profanity, things that aren't meant for advertiser-friendly content. And, Mike, you were just about to jump in?
And I feel like that would have been a little better received had they had a little more transparency.
Yes.
As far as, like, why videos are getting denied. Also, like, Hammy's point earlier about, like, oh, if you get a certain amount of views, you should be able to make money off it, but there's some middle ground here because obviously advertisers are going to want to say, like, no, I don't want my ad on that. And keep that part in mind, guys, because that's going to be very important later in this discussion.
So this is from the Daily Dot. In 2012, YouTube began demonetizing videos based on new advertising-friendly guidelines. This was not done by people, but by an algorithm. designed by people, of course, an algorithm, a program that looked at the metadata of videos. So your tags, what is in your titles, what's in your descriptions, what if it scanned the audio of the file. It has to, because you scan for copyrighted content. I mean, we get flagged for copyright content all the time because we discuss wrestling. Even though we fall under the fair use clause, there have been a couple instances where I had to pull off a video because the entire audio track is taken off because the algorithm on Google saw that our video contained footage from WWE, and it said, nope, take this video off.
Thanks for noticing us, Google. Now, for those of you who don't know the word algorithm, it's that reason why if you look on Twitter or Facebook, you're seeing a post from 5 months ago followed by a post from a minute ago.
Right. Right. So, continuing on here. Over the last 5 years, this algorithm has regularly removed videos from the pool of advertised upon content. The algorithm's parameters were broadened in 2015 specifically to catch more content related to terrorism, which, I mean, if you want to filter out content that is obviously illegal, I mean, that's fine. We're not saying that that's not a good thing. However, it was very difficult. I'm continuing here from the Daily Dot. It was very difficult to know that one of your videos had been demonetized. If you did happen to notice while very casually looking at your analytics for a single video, you could ask YouTube what happened, but there wasn't anything you could do about it. It was Google's final decision of whether your video could make money or not. However, recently, that policy has changed to something that's much better than what it was. Recently, now, Google will let you know when you can, when your content has been demonetized. Lately now, Google will send you an email notification. It will give you an opportunity to, what's the word I'm looking for? It will give you an opportunity to appeal the decision. It will give you an opportunity to explain your case. And in some cases, within 24 hours, your video gets back to be monetized and you can still make money off that video.
Yeah, that was the one change. And then certain vulture writers from the Wall Street Journal had to step in. Because even with some of the changes they made, there were still some videos that were deemed questionable to one or two people at the Wall Street Journal that led to them that were still getting ads that led to them writing articles about it.
The fact that YouTube was demonetizing content creators' videos without them knowing about it in the first place is what started this whole controversy in September of this past year. Now, fast forward to just a few weeks ago in late March, and now there's the PewDiePie controversy. So this one guy, Jack Nikas of the Wall Street Journal, he releases an article titled "Google's YouTube has continued showing brands ads with racist and other objectionable videos." So this stemmed from the PewDiePie controversy. For those of you who may not know about the PewDiePie controversy, or you're not one of the 54 million people that subscribe to that guy's channel, the PewDiePie controversy started with some anti-Semitic content that was in one of his videos. Like with all media witch hunts in this country in today's day and age, they take a soundbite, they take a sample of PewDiePie's videos, and they blew it out of proportion to try for a politically motivated advertiser hunting witch hunt. We have to call it what it is. Then when you go and watch PewDiePie's videos, the videos in question of this quote-unquote offensive content, you realize, you know what, his humor might be a little dark, but you can clearly tell the guy was joking around. And look, regardless of what you may think of PewDiePie, Philip DeFranco, other YouTubers out there, whether you agree with them, whether you don't agree with them, what this Wall Street Journal article has triggered a landslide for Google, because advertisers have advertisers from all over the place have pulled their ads from YouTube in response to this, in basically an overreaction to the whole controversy.
And this is not like minor companies too. Here's some examples of people who pulled their ads from YouTube: AT&T, Audi, Hyundai, Johnson & Johnson, FX, The Guardian, McDonald's, Toyota, Kia, Walmart, fucking Walmart of all places, the BBC, GSK, Starbucks, GM, Enterprise, Domino's, PepsiCo, L'Oreal, Nestle, Honda, VW, Verizon, because apparently they get didn't need to because they're still charging people too much money, Dish Network, and Heinz have all pulled ads. That led to a $700 million loss for Google. So, like, in one day. So, like, the thing with that, though, you knew that once that kind of money was lost, there was going to be blowback.
And boy, did Google blow back on this. Yeah. And their action, their immediate reaction to this, because in this day and age, Mike, look, you and I may differ opinions politically, but we can at least both agree on something here, I hope, that when a story goes viral and people are going after advertisers, the companies that have these sponsors will act swiftly, abruptly, and without any form of consideration from the other side, get rid of whatever's going on. They want to do anything they can to distance themselves from the controversy.
The problem is, though, that, like, they're over, and now, and I don't say this much, they're over, they're, well, actually, I say it a bit, but they're very much overreacting. Listen, I don't think any of us will ever be able to say we lost $700 million in one day.
McMahon is able to say that.
Well, we're going to hit your wagon to John Cena. Ah. Roman Reigns.
He lost a couple hundred mil in one day. He may not be 700 mil, but he lost a couple hundred mil in one day.
He lost a couple hundred mils going, yeah, no, that guy with that weird duffel bag and sweater and the wad of cash can go into our locker room.
Anyhow.
So what happened was they took away the ability to appeal after this. They generalized
the algorithm. Yeah, it's a very wide. It's not very descriptive.
Yeah, there's not a lot left. There's not a lot of room for interpretation.
If you put anything involving religion, sex, violence, anything, even like cartoonish looking. Yeah. If I've seen a few animators on YouTube.
Who are
getting screwed out of this. I've seen MMA journalists with their content. Luke Thomas, for instance, not I'm speaking from a bias standpoint here. Luke Thomas has had his ad revenue go down. I can only imagine what UFC is going through because they are a professional fighting promotion. Like they promote violence. That is their sport.
They'll probably go the WWE route and pay to.
And now, again, regardless of where you may lean politically, YouTube has also a bad habit of putting videos, hiding videos in restricted mode. For instance, if you are a school and you want to look at school-friendly content for your classroom, you put on restricted mode on YouTube and you're able to look at any video. Unless, of course, if it's met by this algorithm, which, and Google is getting a lot of flack for this too, especially during the election, there was a lot of left-leaning outlets out there that were not put in restricted mode at all, and there were a lot of right-leaning outlets. And again, regardless of where you lean politically, I'm not trying to turn this into a debate argument. I'm just calling for Google to be fair and balanced on for everything. A lot of people have been saying that the Young Turks aren't being demonetized. They are. Yeah, I may not agree with a single thing the Young Turks say, but at least they're being shown the same sort of mistreatment with demonetization. And look, I may not like the Young Turks. I may not agree with what they say, but the Young Turks make their living off of YouTube streams. That's how they run their entire network. And as much as I may not agree with them, they have built up an entire empire of content from YouTube. That's how they make their living. And I don't want to see guys like the Young Turks or Steven Crowder, who does a conservative show, but it's FCC friendly. He doesn't curse. He always fact checks his opinions or uses facts to base his conservative base arguments on.
He doesn't scream out of nowhere like Alex Jones.
No, absolutely not. And he doesn't take headlines and turn them into radical points of view like a lot of what Alex Jones's people do, or sometimes with the Young Turks as well. Steven Crowder, his videos are all out of commission on restricted mode. You can't look at anything of his in restricted mode. And Google has shown, especially in the election process, now that the election is long and over, it's becoming a little more fair and balanced now with who is getting viewed in restricted mode, who's getting demonetized, et cetera, but during the heat of the election, a lot of alternative non-left-leaning outlets were being flagged for this. And this algorithm has gotten so out of control that even some LGBT-leaning outlets have complained that their videos were being demonetized because they talk about gay and transgender and bisexual sexuality. Sexuality is a big no-no now. And it's Google is responding to this outcry from hypersensitivity by shooting themselves multiple times in the foot.
But here's the thing, though. It's not even a hypersensitivity outcry. It's an article that led to advertisers pulling. So no one was really complaining about any videos. It was one guy. It was a couple writers for the Wall Street Journal who wanted to get a big story out there and cause some ruckus and get their names out there.
That's so, precisely right.
So it's not even, like, in this case, it's a weird situation because it's not even a case where there's a bunch of people who are going at the advertisers and forcing them to pull. Someone wrote an article on a high-profile news publication, and it scared the shit out of big advertisers.
All it takes is one viral story, Mike. In this day and age, all it takes is one viral story to get a company to cave to your wishes.
And here's the thing. Who knows if the stories even had an initial burst of, like, momentum. But it's the Wall Street Journal, so a lot of those companies are going to take notice.
And why are we bringing up YouTube? Well, that's because in a recent article I read said that YouTube is now putting pro wrestling in its category of non-advertiser friendly content. So anything involving pro wrestling. So I can't put pro wrestling tags on this YouTube video. I can't put pro wrestling tags on any YouTube video and expect to make money on it. But not to mention, YouTube only now only channels with 10,000 plus views can make money off of ads. So even little guys like us who are trying to start out here, we won't be able to make any money until we get to 10,000 views, which in a way I kind of understand because that separates the serious YouTubers from the amateurs.
But
I get that.
Like, that actually was in response to the claims of fake news being spread.
And copyright.
Yeah, like because there were people who were like making videos of talking about how President Obama and George W. Bush were reptilian lizard people who ate the flesh and blood of babies, and that could be eligible for ad revenue if it had a certain amount of hits.
Right.
Regardless, they did have to change that so that those type of videos weren't also getting the ad dollars for low views.
But what's really serious now, Mike, and when this whole YouTube thing comes to us now, the reason why we're bringing this whole thing up is now pro wrestling videos are now being flagged and not being able to be monetized for ads. And even you sent me this screen cap of a tweet from Joey Ryan, who says, with YouTube's new pro wrestling advertising restrictions, my views are plus 249%, watch time is plus 188%, but revenue is minus 58% from March.
Yes, so if you were to go to the video of Joey Ryan in a match for the Japanese wrestling promotion DDT, using his dick to win a test of strength,
which is comical and hilarious.
Yes, and it's a real thing. That will get him no ad revenue because YouTube.
What
is
Google is doing is screwing over the content creators who went to YouTube and made YouTube an empire.
Yep.
Because they were escaping the garbage that is commercial TV in the first place. That's what YouTube was originally supposed to be. An escape from the awful hack shows on CBS, Fox, NBC, and all that stuff. YouTube was the alternative media outlet for original creators. And now, with YouTube TV, which, as great as it sounds for people who want to cut the cord and eliminate their cable bill, as great as YouTube TV sounds, YouTube is now becoming the very thing that YouTube creators, longtime creators, were striving to get away from.
And let's be honest here, too. As far as their wrestling restriction, this hurts the independent promotions more. So now I'm going to use Joey Ryan as an example again. So as a performer, that loss of YouTube revenue is not going to hurt him because his merchandise sells. But he's also one of the owners of one of the top independent companies, PWG. And PWG is not like a Ring of Honor where they do pay-per-views or they have a TV deal. Their revenue is essentially exclusively YouTube views and YouTube ad revenue. Like, they still do their shows in the same gym, like hall in Van Nuys, California, that they've been doing since the start. Like, they keep it small, but it's been considered, as far as like actual in-ring wrestling goes, the best in wrestling organization for great matches in North America. Like, it's even ranked above Ring of Honor and WWE's umbrella to some people. So, but they use that YouTube revenue, so they don't have to like overcharge for the shows. But now what this is probably going to force them to do is have to start spending more to try to get like pay-per-view deals, which they hadn't done before. They were one of those companies like, listen, we know our financial limitations. We can only go so far with it. We're just going to stay on YouTube and not try to get too big for our own britches. Now, this is probably going to force them to have to do that if these restrictions stay. One independent that's going to be kind of affected is What Culture Pro Wrestling, which is based in the UK for those who don't know or been living under an internet rock. I think the good thing for them is that they've also got channels for other mediums in entertainment.
And they're big enough where they can probably survive this.
Yeah, like they'll probably be able to survive this. But there's like mom and pop wrestling, like newer places, newer companies that are trying to grow in this day and age that are going to have a hard time doing so because they're not going to get that influx of YouTube cash that they might have gotten before these restrictions were so generalized. And that's the problem. And you know what? This is where I mentioned a point earlier about needing a good middle ground. Because, yes, there should be the freedom to be able to get advertising revenue, but I do understand that some of these companies and brands also want to be careful to see what their brands are being associated with. I think the actual final way to go about this is going to have to be something that is a lot more specific than it already is. Because you know what? Some of these companies might want to advertise for like a WWE or like a New Japan, like have their ads on that because they know they get a lot of views. Whereas they're not getting that on there because now it's under violence. So if they click, no, I don't want our ads on any videos of the violence.
You're absolutely right.
They lose that. Like, it's not just screwing over some of the smaller companies. It's limiting what the brand's ads can be seen on. So in a way, this is Google responding to the backlash and the advertisers pulling because of the hit piece from two vultures in the Wall Street Journal. But at the same time, in some ways, it is going to hurt advertisers. Now, I know there's been a whole thing, too, since this happened about advertisers with pro wrestling, how they typically don't like to advertise for pro wrestling because the demographic is seen as being more of a poor demographic and less likely to spend money. But, like I said, the big brands like WWE, where parents are the big spenders there, like, you're not just getting the 18 to 34 demographic, you're getting the parents, too, there as well, who might be watching the YouTube video with the kid. So I think certain things need to be taken into consideration. I feel like this is probably essentially Google's first draft of what's going to happen. And they're eventually going to listen to feedback about it and change it so that not as many people are being screwed over. My fear is that it might take too long to implement, and there could be casualties, especially in the satire comedy and pro wrestling end of it.
I can't agree with you more, Mike. And I was even thinking of the independent promotions that rely on YouTube and social media reach like that. I was thinking more of the podcasts like us, the podcasters whose entire job is to talk pro wrestling and get their opinions out and try to get their voices heard. And so people like WWE can maybe even watch the videos and see, oh, this is what the audience thinks. Let's see if we can alter our product to make it better for our audience. They don't do that, obviously, but like,
I mean,
you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, though, I'm less worried about podcasts than I am about the independent promotions because we have avenues. There's a lot of, like, hype, like, there's Stitcher, there's a million other apps that we can get our voices out on there for, and it will only take like one big break to get numbers on that. But the independent promoters are the ones who are really getting screwed, or some independent wrestlers. Joey Ryan, is a guy who was able to make decent supplemental income. He's one of the lucky ones in this, though, because he also has high merch sales, and he's a known commodity and gets a lot of indie work. But there are guys who might not be as established who were probably getting some revenue from YouTube, and it was probably good enough revenue that it's helping supplement their income to the point where they can pay the bills as they're traveling and paying their dues, who are now losing this income.
You're absolutely right about that, Mike. And Google, who I understand what Google is trying to do here, and part of me even sometimes agrees with what Google is trying to do. Look, if I'm an advertiser, I want to pick and choose where my advertisements go. But the minute you start clicking, I don't want my content my ad associated with violent content, it's up to Google to be more specific of what you mean by that, because violence could be, oh, I'm a channel that talks about horror movies, or I'm a YouTuber that likes to talk about mixed martial arts or bloody violent sports. Not, and now pro wrestling is being shoved under that umbrella. Google needs to do a better job here with being specific over what content advertisers want to click and advertise with, because above all else, Mike, this is 2017 now, and Google and YouTube are the kings of internet searching and videos. You want to see a funny video? Where's the first place you go? YouTube.
Yep.
You want to see where you you want to, let me Google that for you. What do you do when you say you're going to search for something? You don't say I'm going to search the internet for this. I'm not going to go to a search engine. You just say, oh, I'll Google it. You want to make a website? Where do you go to get the most promotion material?
Yep.
Google. You want to make a video? Where's the one place where everyone's going to see it? YouTube. Yep. Yep. And I seriously thought about, as the guy who edits all this and posts everything and handles all the distribution of our podcast, Mike, I honestly thought about pulling the plug on YouTube. At first, when I first found this out and I was reading about all this, I was like, you know what? Fuck YouTube. I was about to seriously say, fuck YouTube, and just swear off putting any of our content on there. But then I realized that, you know what? Until we get big enough where we can actually start really realizing that we're going to make money doing this, we have to expose ourselves to as much of a wide audience as possible. Not to mention, you know, I'm fine enough with a day job where I don't need to make money with this. I'm happy not making money with this, but I want to.
Yeah, but there's people
who need it. That's the big thing. People need the reach on YouTube because, like you just said, an independent promoter who relies on YouTube views, and not to mention, I guarantee a lot of WWE's online revenue comes from their YouTube account, where they have a lot of subscribers. Yep. You think they have, I think they have 11 million subscribers on YouTube?
Yeah, they have a ton.
You think they're not going to strike a big fat deal with Google to keep advertiser revenue on there?
No, they're totally.
They absolutely are.
And I want you guys to point out, there's also a lot of details about this that you might like if you want to get the whole story of what's going on. There's H3H3, Hank Green, and Rob Dyke, who all of whom have made videos about
Phil DeFranco too has made these guys have all made videos explaining their reasons why they're pissed off about the adpocalypse is what they're calling
it. Got them, those four, PewDiePie, like, watch them, subscribe, support. As far as wrestling's concerned, Joey Ryan, Matt and Jeff Hardy's channel, What Culture Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, AWG, like they're PWG, just follow them, support, because these channels are going to need it, especially now that they're losing that ad revenue. But do that to show support, and that way, just any little bit helps. Just give them help, give them subscriber numbers, because they're getting fucked.
And if they have a Patreon account, donate to Patreon.
Yes.
And guys, if you don't have a Patreon account, get a Patreon account, because that's Patreon doesn't show any bias to creators out there either.
No, and that's the other thing, too. That's the other problem with this thing about Google, is they've kind of shifted to where now they're catering more to the brands than to the people who are actually creating the
YouTube
content.
YouTube TV. Yeah, I just mentioned that. YouTube was originally the place for individual creators to get away from the mainstream, and now they're bringing the mainstream to YouTube. So now,
and if you think about it, there's people who have had success through YouTube that now are successful or have their own shows. One example from, you know, years past that, for one reason or another, that we've heard of, the show Awkward Black Girl, the girl who did that.
She has her own show on HBO now.
Like, and that was from YouTube. Like, so people who, and she probably would not have gotten a shot from any of the networks because she wasn't part of, like, the right communities as far as, like, screenwriting is concerned to get that opportunity. Doing that,
whether we like him or not, Mike, also Justin Bieber.
Yeah, like Justin Bieber
would not be Justin Bieber if it wasn't for YouTube.
Like, and then the girl from the what's her name? The Friday song? Or no.
Rebecca
Call
Black.
Call Me Maybe. Grace Helbig is another one who actually now she's advertised on AT&T and has her own show. There's oddly enough, though, the one who's got a ton of views and hasn't turned that into anything is what's her name? Jenna Marbles.
Yeah.
Like, she's so successful on YouTube, but hasn't. But so many people who would not have gotten that opportunity before to be a success have now done things that they probably didn't think they were going to be able to do 10 years ago because they were able to post their content on YouTube. And there's some people who even have books now who were YouTube personalities.
The last frontier for YouTube, the last batch of kind of creators that I've seen get affected by this are tech guys. I follow MKBHD. I follow Casey Neistat. I follow Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher. Yeah.
There's also someone in
I don't think these guys are getting affected yet, but it's only a matter of time before they get affected too.
There's also a YouTuber named Hannah Hart who is actually working on being on the Food Network. There's people who are now getting advertising perks that people on TV would get back in the day.
YouTube and Google are amazing things. I would not be a customer of the Google phones, the Google operating system. I would not be an Android user if I didn't like what Google does. Yeah. I love YouTube. I love Google.
And all I know is...
But they are shooting themselves in the foot with this whole... Yep. Controversy surrounding the ads, the PewDiePie thing, the YouTube drama. They are shooting themselves in the foot with this algorithm, and they need to work on it.
They need to, because you know what, YouTube, it's one thing to brag and pat yourself on the back because you were the forum that got Issa Rae a show on HBO, but put your money where your mouth is and don't fuck over content creators.
Especially content creators who have been posting on your channel for over
years,
a decade now.
Yeah, like years, and who are not offensive channels, and really their content doesn't like hit that algorithm, but for some reason, via a title in the thing, or just one person with a weird bias watching the video, now they fall into that algorithm where they're not making money.
All right, we've gone on this long enough. It's time to talk some pro wrestling. We're going to do that when we come back from break. We're going to give you our predictions and thoughts of the Payback pay-per-view.
No. Simulated combat. Sorry, YouTube.
Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about video games and why video games are good and why...
No. It's got to be why they're bad because, you know, that could also hit us in another algorithm.
We're going to just stare at paint.
Yes.
When we come back.
We're going to stare at paint and talk about what the colors of the paint
are.
We're
going to analyze every dimension of this penny.
We're going to huff the paint. Fuck, that's a drug reference.
You just cursed. We're demonetized
damn
now.
It.
You said, damn it, you're besmirching the Lord in some way. Oh, I said the Lord.
Ah!
You can't do anything on YouTube anymore.
Damn it. I did it again.
All right, we'll be back.
We're going to sit in bubble wrap and do nothing, and that hopefully get ad money from YouTube.
That's the ticket, laddie. We'll be right back after this. This is Calf Crusher Radio. Stay right there.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter?
Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you for 20 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Hear this music close out Payback this Sunday? No, you won't. You'll hear with him making his way to the ring, but you will be hearing, "I hear voices in my head," as the show goes off the air. Is this the most predictable main event recent memories?
Or we might just hear it end with Bailey's theme. Because,
yeah. All right. This is a pro wrestling podcast. We need to talk pro wrestling. And this Sunday, I'm going to keep it short and sweet to you guys because we spent way too much time talking about YouTube and us being demonetized for breathing.
By the way, no, what we'll hear at the end of the pay-per-view is, ban out, no matter who wins the matches.
It'll be a sea of boos. Leading up to Payback.
No, a sea of bows.
Yes. The lead up to Payback has been lackluster, honestly. The only storyline going into Payback that's even remotely interesting is the rematch between Jericho and Owens.
Actually, you know what though? I kind of like. Oh wait, no. There's actually a couple. I'll be honest.
That's the only one that really gets that's really getting me interested.
Jericho and Owens. I mean, I like what they've been doing with the Hardys versus Sheamus and Cesaro. Like where Sheamus and Cesaro have been taking turns losing their temper, either kind of signaling a heel turn for the team or a split between the team. I like the build for Neville and Austin Aries.
I'm loving the build up for this feud. I am a big, big fan of this feud. Neville has been an incredible heel champion. And honestly, I wanted to lead into this, and we could talk about this real quick. Neville, I think, is finally recovering from that god-awful, the man that gravity forgot superhero gimmick that they tried to give him.
Yeah.
Neville has been coming onto his own, and I hope WWE does to Shinsuke Nakamura what they did with Neville, which is let him be himself.
Yeah, which it looks like they are. But also, it's funny, Neville's got a lackey now in TJ Perkins.
But I kind of like that. And you notice that TJ Perkins is getting zero reactions.
Oh, so it's the same as the last 3 months.
Fair enough. So let's talk about this match. A rematch from WrestleMania, which really Payback is the WrestleMania rematch show.
Yeah, let's be honest. It's going to be a lot of rematches from WrestleMania.
But as we said at WrestleMania, Mike, Aries versus Neville was arguably the match of the night.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the best matches.
At WrestleMania 33. So I'm expecting these guys to tear the house down, and I think Aries gets the win on this.
I'm glad this is on the main card, and I do think Aries wins as well. And I hope it gets more time than it got in WrestleMania, because these two deserve a chance to shine.
The next match on the card, in no particular random order here, is the returning Hardy Boys versus Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yes. I'm going to pick the Hardys for now. But once WWE makes the agreement to get the broken gimmick from TNA,
you can see it in Matt Hardy's face, though, right here. He's showing signs of it.
It's funny, though. He's showing signs, and now his Twitter name says hashtag confused Matt Hardy. Because, he's alternating between Team Extreme Matt Hardy and Broken Matt Hardy. So, the rumor is once they get the rights to or able to do the gimmick, they're going to do it, and they're going to have them drop the tag titles to be the lead into that.
At least. WWE is acknowledging that the only way the Hardys can go on to be ridiculously over is they do the broken gimmick.
I think the Hardys win this match, and I think either there's a heel turn or a double cross between Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus and Cesaro have been way too nice and respectful to the Hardys. Something's going to happen with this. And I believe Sheamus and Cesaro's time is coming to an end.
I don't think it's coming to an end. They're actually hitting a stride. But it could be like the Shield, where they decide to break a team up before they reach that place where they're struggling. But I'm picking the Hardys.
All right. The next match, in no particular order on the card, is the Raw Women's Championship, Bayley versus 5 Feet of Fury, Alexa Bliss.
Okay, I think it'll be a decent match. Bayley's mic work hasn't been good on Raw, but her in-ring work has still been
in-ring work has been improving, yes.
Yeah. Which is sad to say, because she was great in her NXT time. Alexa Bliss, it's kind of the opposite, where she's money on the microphone. I mean, her handling of the what chance on Raw was great. It was probably the best someone's
Alexa
handled
Bliss,
it
the best
years.
Say what?
What?
Exactly.
Yeah, they still just did it out of habit, and it made the crowd look dumb. So I've got to give her props. She's better on the microphone, but in the match, Bayley will probably carry that one a little bit. Part of me, I'm going to go stick with Bayley winning, because I think they're still hitching their wagons on her in the women's division, and the her versus Sasha feud that'll eventually happen during the summer. So I think that's going to be a Bayley win, unless they want to kind of have Alexa win it and then have Bayley win it back in time for the Sasha feud. But I think Bayley wins with some sort of weird help from Sasha Banks to kind of further plant the seed for that future feud.
I completely agree. And the next match in no particular order.
Yeah, because this is the pre-show match.
The pre-show kickoff match, Enzo and Cass versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. In a feud that, to me, has just been, oh, guys.
Okay, one of these teams should
have
been
moved. Dare I say, Enzo and Cass have long overstayed their welcome, and I'm over them.
No, I think they should have been moved to SmackDown. Honestly, though, I think this match is only happening between these two teams because Dash Wilder broke his jaw. Because I picture this would be between Enzo and Cass and the Revival had Wilder not broken his jaw.
Yes, I agree.
I think they kind of had to throw together a feud with the club in the meantime. And I honestly, I have no fucking clue who wins this match, I'm going to be honest, because both teams have been handled horribly by booking
have been handled horribly.
Badly.
But Enzo and Cass have been losing recently, so I think Enzo and Cass get the win here.
Yeah, they're due for a win, so I'll give it to Enzo and Cass. But then again, don't be surprised if the club wins either, because they're also due for a win.
That is true. Amazing. These guys were once tag team champions after we all said, hey, make these guys tag team champs, and they were pretty lackluster with how they handled them.
Yep.
The next event in no particular order.
Ms. TV!
WWE's number one talk show, not named Talking Smack, with guest Finn Balor on the kickoff show. Balor recovering from a concussion, as you could tell from his lack of being used on Raw. He hasn't taken that many bumps on Raw. He has been put in matches because Raw needs Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And he has not been taking that many bumps, so that he is slowly recovering from a concussion. What do you think happens here?
They're gonna set up something between The Miz and Balor. I think, I think The Miz is eventually winning the IC title from Ambrose.
I agree.
I think Ambrose I don't know if it's his booking or just as of right now, he's got a reputation for killing titles, but that could be put on creative, and how they're booking him or how they're making a lot of his feuds not be about the IC title. I think The Miz wins that title eventually. And I think this is going to set up Miz versus Balor. Because, again, Miz will be a good first feud for Balor. I know people were thinking it was going to be Bray Wyatt as that first feud, but I even think Wyatt might end up feuding with Dean Ambrose after this, after this pay-per-view for the IC title before The Miz gets a shot.
Speaking of Dean Ambrose, congrats, by the way. Did you see how...
You're married.
Ambrose and Renee Young, did you read how they got married? They were never technically engaged, and the way they got married was they found a pastor on Yelp and they said, hey, come to our house, it's 1 a.m screw it, let's get married. And they got married in their backyard by a pastor they found on Yelp at 1 a.m
Okay, most people who do that, I would say it's a train wreck wedding, but considering who it is,
it's kind of romantic, not gonna lie. Spur of the moment where they picked up the wedding ring and they're like, oh, better now than never. So that was good.
And then Daniel Bryan and a bunch of other people decided to make Renee awkward and talking smack immediately after.
Yes. What I can only imagine being your match of the night, Kevin Owens takes on Chris Jericho for the United States Championship. And, I mean, there's no brainer here that Kevin Owens is winning this.
Yeah. The new face of America will still be the U.S. champion after Payback. And a side note, I fucking love Kevin Owens' new Titantron. It's just a close-up of his face and says the face of America.
I love it. I love it.
It is so Kevin Owens.
And this is amazing for Chris Jericho to still be as over as he is, both as a face and as a heel, doing the same character.
Oh,
I'm going to miss Chris Jericho.
Dude.
If this is the last we see of him for a while.
I think one of my favorite backstage segments on Raw, Ambrose got Jericho his new light-up vest.
Yes! And it was Christmas lights!
Yeah, and Ambrose is asking, hey, you know, I did this stuff for you. We're tag teams, you know, just can you take me off the list? And he's like, oh, you know what, Dean? You know what you get for getting me the jacket? You just unmade the list. Cross him off. Ambrose said something, I forget what it was, leaves the locker room, and Jericho's like, and writes Ambrose back on the list.
What I loved about Raw was Ambrose said to Jericho, this is the new jacket of Jericho. You should try it on, man. I'm going to miss Chris Jericho.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. The guy's 46 years old. He does not need to be in the main event spotlight for WWE. He doesn't need to be anywhere near WWE. But the fact that he's there, he's still one of the most entertaining personalities on the program. And not to mention, he could still give you great matches.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, in this past year and a half that he's been back in WWE, has not only earned his Hall of Fame ring, but has earned his spot to whenever he can come and go whenever he wants. Yeah. He has earned that. He is right up there with The Undertaker, in my opinion, as far as legends who have earned their keepsake in WWE.
And also I want to point out, you know what makes me just as excited about this match is the fact that after this, we're going to see a Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles match.
You're right, because if the rumors are true, they are trying to keep Nakamura and AJ Styles as far away from each other until WrestleMania, and that's going to be the SmackDown main event for WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's going to be like the SmackDown WWE Championship
match.
If
that's the case, I'll put up with a couple segments of Dolph Ziggler bombing horrendously on SmackDown to try to get Nakamura over. I'll put up with weeks of bombing Ziggler if it means I get to see AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. But speaking of Nakamura and speaking of people who we love that came from other promotions, Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
Jesus Christ. All right. Go back for a second to the card before we continue talking about this match. If you look at some of the main matches, like the main two matches we have here, not that one, but like the other, not that one either. But those two matches, like the ones we're talking about, three of the four men in question are former Ring of Honor champions.
progress, man. I mean, we want to talk about progress in the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Man, three of the four people in these featured matches, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Jericho, and Owens, all but one of them were former Ring of Honor champions, yep. All have competed elsewhere.
And, like, further down the card, matches we've mentioned before features another former Ring of Honor champion and a former Ring of Honor tag team champion in Aries and Cesaro.
This is an amazing time to be a wrestling fan with who WWE has.
So, Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, I think, is going to be a great match. I think they're going to play their roles well. Joe's going to play the brutish monster. Rollins is going to play the babyface. He's going to use his athleticism to make a comeback and try to beat him. Whether Joe or Seth wins, it can go either way. Whether they want to have Joe be just an unstoppable monster, or whether they want to have Seth Rollins overcome the odds and get revenge for the injury that almost cost him WrestleMania. Both speak well for storyline purposes, depending on how they want this feud to go going forward. And Seth Rollins debuted a new finisher, which is essentially, I believe, was a move Kenny Omega did, but also like the Rainmaker finisher, yeah. But with a knee instead of a lariat,
yeah.
For those who were wondering what that was.
I believe this match is going to be great.
It'll be third best compared to the other two matches that we're picking as match of the night.
Seth Rollins, I think, is going to get the upper hand. Either way, I see Triple H coming down and doing some form of interference because we haven't seen Triple H since WrestleMania.
They're going to keep him off TV because they want to have it as if Angle's running the show, so that eventually if something goes wrong, Stephanie can come back and do her ball cutting to Angle. But for now, it's the Angle's show, so I don't think anything with Triple H is happening. That part of the Seth Rollins storyline is done. That's why he's not doing the pedigree anymore.
And I hope that what Stone Cold Steve Austin said on his podcast about how Rollins hasn't been coming into his own character yet. He's over. He's just not there fully yet. I hope this gets Rollins to be at that point where you say, yeah, okay, Rollins is his own man now.
It's going to get there. I think they're going to build him up. So I could see him beating Samoa Joe as part of that. And then him build up. I could even see him, if they do Roman Reigns versus Lesnar at SummerSlam, I could see it to where Seth Rollins is the one who beats Roman Reigns to get the Universal title off of Roman Reigns.
Well, speaking of Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns versus the most over guy on Raw, Braun Strowman. Guys, if you weren't entertained by the hilarity that is Braun Strowman the past few weeks.
Second most over, because the list is always the most over thing on Raw.
Fair enough. The most over human on Monday Night Raw. Can't believe the most over thing on Raw is in a piece of paper. But
a clipboard with a piece of paper.
Oh, excuse me.
And a pen.
Why don't you demonetize me for that?
You know, maybe I will. Get me YouTube on the phone now. I'm flagging this video for other.
First off, peel back the curtain. our condolences go out to the Inouye family.
Matt, or as we knew him on WWE TV, Rosie.
Yeah, Roman Reigns' older brother passed away just last week, and we can only imagine that Reigns has been off TV to mourn the loss with his family. So, look, despite what we may think about Roman Reigns as a character, behind the character is a real person, and Reigns' family is going through some serious hard times right now with the loss of a loved one. So, yes.
That being said,
I think Reigns finally gets some cheers.
No.
Really? His older brother died and you're not going to give him cheers?
The Rock couldn't even give him cheers.
That is fair. Braun Strowman, leading up to this, has flipped an ambulance, thrown Reigns off a barricade with attached to an ambulance stretcher, and has slammed him in production trucks, slammed him on production crates, and has basically thrown him around like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And Strowman has become one of the most over guys on Raw. And which shows Strowman a lot of credit. We should give this man a lot of credit for getting himself over.
Now, the funny thing with this match...
But come on, the buildup is Reigns beats Strowman.
Now, the funny thing with this match is, what's going to suck for Roman Reigns and be even more unfair for him is when Braun Strowman debuted about a year and a half ago, we'll say, on WWE TV, that was his first in-ring experience. He had never wrestled before then. So now, like, he's shown such improvement in his in-ring work. And then you look at a guy, and people are going to look at a guy like Roman Reigns, who's been there much longer and is maybe not improved as much from an in-ring perspective.
That is something to be said.
Like, it might end up making him look even worse in the eyes of the fans, but I'm going to go with the rumors of Braun Strowman getting the first title shot against Brock Lesnar and saying that Braun Strowman is somehow going to win this match.
See, I disagree. I think Roman Reigns does the big comeback and beats Strowman.
I honestly think Braun wins. It was, I want more competition. I want a title shot. And then Paul Heyman comes out, does his Paul Heyman thing, and Bork Laser comes out.
And your main event of the evening, in the most predictable main event I think I've ever seen, Randy Orton will defeat Bray Wyatt and retain the WWE Championship, where Wyatt will go on to feud with Finn Balor, which he will lose that
Again,
of course, proving me right once again.
No, because I honestly think the reason they're doing the Miz TV segment with Finn Balor is to set up a Miz Balor feud.
Then why set up the creepy promos between Wyatt and Balor anyway?
Because they hadn't realized what they were going to do with the Superstar Shakeup until the week of the Superstar Shakeup.
See, I think Wyatt feuds with Balor, and it gets Balor to bring back his Demon King gimmick in order to go over Wyatt. It's not good to be a Bray Wyatt fan here, guys, because your boy just loses.
I think Bray feuds with Ambrose, and Miz feuds with Balor, and then they kind of swap feuds at that point. But
see, I disagree. I reverse it. I think Miz feuds with Ambrose, while Wyatt feuds with Balor. But the main event of the evening, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt in a House of Horrors match, which I don't even know what this is going to be.
Yeah, no one knows. Is it going to be one of those?
Is it going to be like a Final Deletion type of thing?
Oh, God.
Is it a steel cage with some spooky sock puppets around? Is this going to be?
You know how many people are going to be mad if they do a Final Deletion type thing and Matt Hardy's on the roster and it doesn't involve Matt Hardy?
I mean, I don't know what this House of Horrors match is going to be. All I know is it's going to be really stupid and Randy Orton's going to win. So that is, those are our WWE Payback predictions. What will happen? We will find out. Is there any last thoughts before we close out this episode, Mike?
Yes, and also for those of you who like to do betting and stuff, I will give you the predictions via Vegas' current betting odds. This will probably change by the time it gets closer, but Vegas has Kevin Owens to be the favorite in his match. Alexa Bliss is actually the favorite for the women's title match. Neville is the favorite for the Cruiserweight match. The Hardys, Braun Strowman, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Enzo and Cass are all favorites for their matches. But on, like I said, I don't think Balor and Bray Wyatt feud right away. I think they try to build those two up a little bit before they feud, because Balor just returned and Bray Wyatt just came back on Raw and needs to get some, after the Orton mess, is going to need to get some feuds where he's winning the feuds.
Fair enough. All right. Those are our predictions. Those are our thoughts. Once again, we are at Calf Crusher Pod on Facebook and Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. Stay tuned, because we will be live after the conclusion of WWE Payback with our with our thoughts, our analysis, with Brian and Jeff Berga of the High Spot Podcast. Hopefully they will be joining us for Payback and doing the Payback after show.
He advertises them and then says he hopes they're here.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning almost. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next week.